Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage held. The gates of brass before him pierced, the iron fetters yield. He comes the glad Hosanna's Prince of Peace, thy welcome shall proclaim, and heaven's eternal arches ring with thy beloved name.
The congregation is invited to stand for the opening versicles. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God shall come. He does not keep silence.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make his path straight.
Shower, O heaven, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation may spout forth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now,
and will be forever. Amen. We pray the collect together. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Again, you will note that the scripture readings have some bold printed portions, and if you would like, you can read that out loud along with me. If you'd rather just listen to the whole scripture reading, that's fine too. The scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 65, beginning at verse 17.
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind.
But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long again, long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be like the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 4.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us.
That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You're invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. From John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Do you believe this?
She said to him,
Yes, Lord.
I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God,
who is coming into the world.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
We confess our faith using the words of the third article of the Creed and the meaning from the Small Catechism.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, and enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. This evening, we'll be reflecting on those statements that Jesus made, "I am the resurrection and the life," which we just read in John 11. But to start, I want to read a verse that was just a few verses before that reading, The same scene, the raising of Lazarus, that whole narrative, but from verse 11. After saying these things, Jesus said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think the number is 7 times in education you need to repeat something 7 times before they remember. So you will hear this opening session 7 times and you will remember. Long, long in the future, oh, I remember when Pastor Ark said that 7 times in a row. Well, I got tired of that. Okay, so I am 7 times, or at least 7 times in John. And in fact, we find out it's more than 7 times in John, because this statement tonight actually has 2 statements. I am the resurrection. I am the life. But at least 7 times then, there are 7 sections in John where Jesus says, I am. And John, one of his clear teachings is that Jesus, he was also involved in Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all created. And so when Jesus says, I am, it's referring to Exodus 3 and many other places where God's name is Yahweh. I am that I am. And he uses this name then to teach his disciples that he is God and that what he is for them. We remember that the Creator God then, he speaks, declares, and creates. Let there be light. He spoke it, he declares it, and creates it, and there was light. So when Jesus says something, it creates faith in us, it draws us to believe in him, and it is our reality. He has created it. So the statements that we've covered so far, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door. Tonight, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. So 2 statements there, we'll think about each separately a little bit, but they're totally linked together. But they are 2 different words and concepts, resurrection and life. Just a few things to think about from this whole narrative of the raising of Lazarus. How many days when Jesus arrived and talked to Martha, which we just read, Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Thank you. 4 days. So he was dead. You know, I was reading that text, and it says many Jews came to console Mary and Martha. This was an utterly public event. Everybody knew that Lazarus was dead. He had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. That's the reality, right? Or is Jesus saying something else as well? Well, Jesus says on his way down, before he arrives there, he tells his disciples, "Our friend has fallen asleep, but I go to waken him." Asleep. Not somewhere else or impossible to find. Asleep. To Jesus, Lazarus is still alive. He still exists. But he's asleep in the tomb. These words that Jesus uses is just, it's present tense. It's now. I need to go do this. And he's still alive. He's just sleeping. Even though he's in the tomb, he's still alive. His body is dead. He's not breathing. His heart has stopped. But he's still alive. And what he needs is to be awakened. And then, as I was also looking at this, one of the very sweet phrases in this whole text is when Jesus says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." Lazarus is in the tomb. He's been buried there for 4 days, but he's still Jesus' friend. That's the reality. The person who dies in the faith is the friend of Jesus Christ, the Creator, the one who can call all things into being, his friend. Not only that, but he uses first person plural. He doesn't say, my friend. No, it's plural. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. He's your friend too, disciples. He is in the grave. He has been buried in the tomb. But he's your friend too, my friend and your friend. And so in our cemetery, where our loved ones are buried, or friends, they have died in the faith. They are friends. They are asleep there for the time. But the reality is that they are in Christ. And they're his friends. And at any moment, he can return and call his people back to life to awaken them. That's the reality of being our resurrection. And it doesn't take some kind of, magic show with all kinds of props and everything to make it look like the person is coming back to life. But he merely needs to say, awake. Or as he literally says in the Lazarus text, come forth. And he comes forth. Let there be light, and there is light. Lazarus comes forth. He comes forth. He's awake. He's alive. That also is the reality of Jesus' resurrection. When he says, wake up, all the deadness goes away. He is the creator. It's very clear in other parts of Scripture, and this text as well, that when Jesus will raise our bodies on the last day, we cannot die again. And so that's a little bit different than what happens in this narrative, because Lazarus died again. He came to life for a time, back to life for a time in this world, but not in his glorified body, because Lazarus died again. Lazarus is not among us yet. He died again. But when Jesus comes and raises us and wakes us, then we are in a body that cannot die, that cannot corrupt, that cannot have any problem. Scripture is clear, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, and then we follow. And so as Jesus was, he had the scars in his hand and his side and his feet, but he was not bleeding, he was not hurt, he was not wounded anymore. And he spoke and ate and was with his disciples. He's that the way he was and is now, we shall be. He's the first fruits. And death has no power over him again. And when Jesus gives us our glorified bodies, no power over us anymore. No death, no sin, no corruption. When you think about it, that's asleep. Yes, maybe somebody has been asleep for 10 years, 100 years, 500 years, but it doesn't matter to Jesus. When he awakens the person on the last day, body is complete, whole, as God intends. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, okay, the body dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You really cannot die in Christ. You go asleep in Christ. That is the reality he calls into our lives as our resurrection. Thinking on, I am the life. What is the little tagline a lot of water bottling companies like to use? Bottled at the source. And you never know what that is, right? It might be a good spring or it might be the garden hose, But whatever the source is, then that phrase means, oh, it's good, it's pure, it's unadulterated, it's just what you need, it's good for you. Well, Jesus is the source of true life. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned away from the God who said, let there be light, and there was light. They turned away from the God who said, let the fish, let the waters teem with fishes, let the birds fill the air, let the animals creep and crawl and walk all over the land. They turned away from the God who could just say that and it would happen. And so they turned away from life and the Creator who made life to death. But Jesus calls us to believe in him. He said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He calls us, I am the life. Turn to him. He calls life and us to have faith in him, to have life. He is the source. Everything in this life detracts us from thinking that God, that Jesus Christ is the source. Christ is the source. As we are in Advent, we are waiting for Jesus to make things, everything complete. We're waiting for Jesus to return. And you know there's this dual theme in Advent. It comes out in the readings all the time. The waiting for Jesus to return in glory, second time, the last day. While this little time we're waiting for in church, the 4 weeks of Advent for Christmas. And so both are going, his second coming and his first coming. We're still waiting for a second coming, but his first coming, we're waiting to celebrate his first coming. So there's a waiting thing going on, and they're interrelated. But when you think about it, all of our lives here on earth, we're waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to return. We're waiting for our resurrection and life to be complete. Maybe the altar committee needs to just leave up the blue pyramids all year. We're waiting. No, don't. You can change them. But you get the idea. We're waiting constantly throughout our lives. We're waiting for Jesus. Going back a number of weeks, we had the parable of the 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The three servants got one of the servants got 5 talents, one of the servants got 2 talents, one of the servants got 1 talent. We remember that these were equivalent to millions of dollars. But what were they doing as they were investing, or the last guy hiding the money? They were waiting for their master to return. And many of Jesus' teachings tells us you're waiting. You're waiting. In the meantime, there's things for you to do, but we're waiting. And so all of our life is waiting. So Advent is waiting that 4 weeks to Christmas, but we're really always in Advent. We're waiting for Jesus to return. And he has us to do things in the meantime for his glory, for the good of his people. But our joy at Christmas time is founded upon the fact that he's already come and is with us now. If you go down, I forget who it was. Somebody complimented. Somebody was visiting us outside the area. They're visiting us and said, Ridgeville is really pretty. They complimented all the decorated trees and lights and things. But if you see all those decorations and you don't know the meaning behind it, you don't know that Jesus has already come and is with me now and with my family now and protecting me now, if you don't know that, then what do all these lights mean? And you can be, they don't necessarily change anything in life. You can be scared or confident or sinful or whatever, but they don't change anything in your life. But as Christians, we know he's come and he's even with us now. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, there he is. And behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. The foundation and joy of our waiting these 4 weeks for Christmas is that he's with us now. And he's helping us, he's assisting us to wait for him to return again. So it's Advent, and we'll celebrate Christmas very soon, but we're still waiting with his strength and joy that he's with us now. As we continue with the I am statements, remember, these are teachings and promises of Jesus, and he wants us to be absolutely confident that he is, I am, our resurrection and our life. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you sent your Son who gave us these teachings of I am and so many others as well. We ask you to build up our faith and confidence in Christ, to know that we are never left alone, that we're waiting for him to return, but we're not waiting alone. You are with us. Give us this joy and this foundation in all that we do and plan in this Christmas season. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity.
Congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayers printed in the bulletin. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, Lord, Dismiss Us With Your Blessing, 924.
Dismiss us with your blessing, fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, traveling through. Not fear.